You're listening to the BBS Radio Network, and this is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud, healer, author, shaman, paranormal investigator. Stay tuned. Up next is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud.
Hello, everybody. This is Derek White Sky Cloud. You're listening to Between Two Worlds Radio on bbsradio.com. I'd like to welcome everyone in the chat room, those who are actually listening to us across the world, across the nation, and those who are listening even here in beautiful downtown British Columbia. Guess what, folks? We're getting pretty close to Halloween. And I know, I'm sure all of you know that we do have our ghosts and goblins out there. Young ones are actually want to go out there for Halloween. So let everyone know, let the parents know, and those who are taking care of them, watch them carefully because things do happen. We do have fireworks that go off almost every night the last few days. So there is something very concerning that I would like to see everyone to take care about that because it's something to be concerned about. To watch little ones when they hear see fireworks go off. Tonight, this Tuesday night in our show, normally I have people come on to interview, but you know what? I want to ask you, actually get you folks to phone me, and I want you to see if you have a ghost story to share, and I'll give you the toll-free numbers, okay? And the toll-free numbers are the 877-876-5227, that's 877-876-5227, that's in the U.S. Those are in Canada, is 888-815-9756, it's 888-815-9756. And the international lines are 530-876-3222, that's 530-876-3222. Just fussing with my papers here, getting organized. I was a little bit late coming on. If you have a story that you want to share, please call in. Just toll-free numbers and to share with the rest of the world because basically it's important that if you've actually any of you guys ever has ever experienced a ghost or think you've experienced a ghost, please call in or even share a story with you, with me or rest of the world because people like to hear it. If any of you actually have experienced a ghost in your home, or think you have experienced a ghost in your home, or anywhere that you've actually gone through, even if it's your past or your youth, I would love to share that information with us. It's important that we need to talk about this because I want to hear we have such huge amount of activity everywhere. And you know, I work as a paranormal investigator. All of you know that. Some of you that actually are new in the industry who don't know me much, but I do paranormal investigations in my work, and it's interesting to say that when you experience this for the first time, and you do your first paranormal investigation on your own or with other people in a group, it is a very, I guess you'd say, exciting time, very mind-boggling moment, because you're trying to get yourself straightened. I mean, you know, because I work as a paranormal, besides being a paranormal investigator, I'm also a psychic medium. So you're trying to work with the energies of the people, those around you, and see who these people are. And you're working in the dark. I mean, basically, we work in the dark. And that's one thing that I always found that, you know, we have plenty of batteries, flashlights, and also safety kits, cameras, extra cameras if necessary. Recorders. We have a lot of equipment you're carrying around at times. But when you are working on your own without having to carry all this equipment, especially start using your psychic skills or mediumship skills, this is something that you learn by experience. I mean, myself, I've had dealt with spirits since I was a kid growing up, and I've had my scary moments. And I'm sure a lot of you out there, if you remember when you were young, you've all have dressed up to look like a ghost and a ghoul or something else that was quite interesting. I remember when I was a kid, when I went to school, we always dressed up for Halloween. Schools, we did. And then we used to have, I remember the teachers used to always get us all to walk around in our costume to each classroom and walk around everyone to see what we wore. And then those who were not wearing a costume, I guess we thought that was their birthday suit. But we thought it was, I've actually found the most interesting part of my costume when I was quite young. I had a huge fascination for werewolves. And I also had a few huge fascinations for executioners, you know, the person that actually cut off your heads. And I thought to myself, I wonder if I actually cut heads off when in my past life. And I just found that was interesting. So one year, I would say when I was about 25, 26, I dressed up as a head chopper, and I got this styrofoam skull, styrofoam head, and I put a wig on it, and I painted the face, and I put this, and I poked some holes on the side of each lip, and I put that fake blood that runs down. And I got this axe that I made, a big, huge, huge axe that I made. And it was quite interesting because I walked into a nightclub and I had these items in my hand wearing my black outfit, you know, my head chopper, so no one could see my face. And the funny part of it is when I walked in, everybody like looked at me and gasped because they thought their head was so real that it cut off. And then when I walked in the nightclub, the bouncer even asked me if I can put my axe behind the bar because it looked too dangerous. He was serious. He was serious. And you know what? I made the axe, before plastics ever came out, I made the axe out of cardboard. But I made it so real looking that they even asked me to put it behind the bar. So I'm telling you, it's not that sharp. The guy didn't believe me. So he found out for himself, and he thought, oh, okay, I'll leave it at that. That's great. That's not bad then. But back then, this was back in the mid-80s, he thought I was real. He thought I was, like, pretty sick-looking. so it's pretty cool when you can actually make these things, characters, on your own. I like to make them handmade ones. I don't like to go and buy the costumes in the stores. I like making my own. I find it's much easier because you're pleased with what you wear, and you're pretty proud of it. And the end of the year, I dressed up as a barbarian, almost like that Conan time period when I was younger. Did this big leather mask I made, and I put the whole outfit on, and again, similar thing to the axe. And I actually got a dinner for two. That was pretty funny. And then about maybe 5 or 6 years before that, I dressed up as a werewolf, and I went to a barbershop or hairdressing studio, and I got a whole bunch of long hair that was on the floor that they'd always discarded. And I took some of the hair that matched some of mine, and I basically glued it on my face, and I used that famous glue, rubber glue. It stung like heck on my face, but I was bound determined to look like a werewolf, and I did a hell of a good job. I did a really good job because I got the photograph. I have a photograph of myself wearing that same costume that I made, and it was very simple, just mostly the hair. I think the most funniest part of it all, when I came into the bar, I mean, when we were young, you went to the bar, you're showing yourself off because everybody's in the nightclubs. And this was a small town. This is up in Alberta. It was actually a small town called Old Alberta, and OLDS. I'm sure some of you might know where that place is. But I was there, and I walked in. I saw these two young women that knew of me, but they weren't wearing no costumes, just regular clothing, you know. Like, and everybody's also all dressed up. These two girls are all dressed up, just being casual. And I had the fake blood on the side of each lips, and plus my fangs. I remember clipping the fangs off and the plastic ends off, and I wanted to stay in my mouth with falling out, so I stuck bubblegum inside. That worked pretty good. But this one girl particularly was being snobbish, I guess you would say, kind of, you know, like, well, I don't dress up for Halloween. I don't do that kind of stuff. I said, well, okay, fine. So I couldn't care less. I mean, I stuck the fake blood in my mouth, and she was being kind of mouthy, so I thought, okay, I'm going to give her that bite. I reached down, went to bite her neck just to play the game, and next thing you know, she freaked out on me. And she freaked out on me big time because she was wearing one of those wool sweaters, and virgin wool, I guess you call it, and it was brand new, and she wore it. And I guess I got heck from her from one side to the other, and I couldn't believe it on her part. She gave me a heck for even actually biting her, but I left all that blood stain all over her sweater, and she said, you know how much I paid for this sweater? I paid over $100 for it. Now, this is back in the 80s. So if you think about it now, it's probably worth about maybe triple that. And I felt so bad. I'm sorry, you shouldn't have wear what you wore tonight. I walked away, left it at that, but she hated me ever since. So I'm sure you guys have some stories you can share regarding what you used to look like when you were younger and you had fun. My mom and dad, bless their hearts, they passed away. But mom and dad, one year, now this is a small town. When we're living in Alberta. Now, Alberta is known for its oil patch. I mean, basically everybody is into the rigs. My mom and dad dressed up as Saudi Arabians, both with beards, the whole nine yards, went to a nightclub. People swore they were for real. They did such a great job dressing up. They got dinner. They got served. Didn't cost them nothing. They got away with everything because they swore they had them believing that they owned the place. And my mom and dad, they got away with it. In the background, you probably hear explosions. We're not being invaded. People are shooting fireworks off in the park. I don't live too far from the place called Bear Creek Park, and a lot of young kids like to do that, especially around this time of the season. Now, I want to have a story with you guys. If anybody wants to phone in before I do start this story, if any of you guys actually have a story you want to share with me, please call in toll free. Don't be shy. I mean, basically, this is Halloween coming up. Halloween. Is anyone there right now?
Yes.
Yes. Who am I speaking to?
Janice.
Hi, Janice. How are you doing?
Good. Good. How are you doing?
Good. Do you have a story to tell me?
I do.
Okay.
After my brother passed away, on the anniversary, actually a couple of weeks before the anniversary of his death, I could smell in my home cigarette smoke, and I don't smoke.
Okay.
And it was like someone was smoking in the room. And so I did associate that to him. And then when his anniversary did come around, I phoned his wife, and I said, you know, the strangest thing has been happening. And she said, you smell cigarette smoke. And I said, yes, in my home. And he was visiting us, and he was sharing that through the cigarette smoke.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because what happens is when a person passes away, a lot of them actually have an attachment or connection to a specific, either it's a flower or smokes. Sometimes I smell pipe tobacco. I have smelled, actually this afternoon, I was doing some readings for a couple clients, and I had a very, a horrible smell of a body that smelled that never had a bath for over a week.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm smelling my armpits.
That's not me.
But I said to the lady, I said, did you have someone in your family that actually had a hard time with their body odor? And she said, no. And she goes, oh, wait a minute. She says, I think it was my uncle. Yes, she said, I think it was my uncle that he always had a problem with body odor. So I said, well, is he passed? And she goes, yes. And I said, he's here. I said, that's what he used. It was his own body odor to let me know. As soon as I acknowledged him, that smell went away.
Oh, that's good.
But it's interesting how that happens. I educate once in a while people that come through with smokes, smells like tobacco, smoke, and only just for a very brief time. You know, that doesn't linger. It doesn't stay in the house. It just lingers just like
it. No, it's immediate, and you recognize it, and it was like a fresh-lit cigarette.
Yeah.
And he did smoke cigarettes, so I guess that was his thing. I don't know.
But here's one for you. Do you think he's still smoking?
No. I bet he wish he could have.
I really feel when a person has passed over, and if they said they always were a smoker before they passed, sometimes I feel that they could actually still do that.
Really?
Until they make a decision, they finally realize that they don't have to smoke.
Hmm. Interesting.
You know, we always have a passion for certain things we've always wanted to do since we're quite young.
Yeah.
I feel that possibly what has happened is that this person or persons or whoever they are always wanted to smoke a cigarette, and I think that's exactly what happened.
Well, if he wants to, he is. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's great. So do you still?
It's not really a ghost story. It's more of a spirit story. So
that's okay. It's like a ghost story. You know what? Here's the difference. A lot of people always say, well, what's the difference between a ghost story and a spirit story? I think they're both pretty well both.
Yeah, I think so.
Because they're just people that are passed over. And
that's
the
right.
Word ghost really means the unknown.
Yeah.
So, but we call the word spirit story because we find it much softer, it's more passive, it's much better feeling. We're not feeling kind of, you know, scared. We call it ghost story, all of a sudden you're on the edge of your seat.
Well,
you want to find what's going on behind your back.
Ghosts are supposed to be scary, but they're really not. They're just
no,
scared.
Not at all. Mm-hmm. I've never actually have come across one yet that really scared the heck out of me. I've had confrontations with possession, but not a spirit that actually did harm to me. I've actually had people tell me they've actually been thrown down the stairs, pushed down the stairs by an angry ghost or spirit, but that's pretty well it.
Mm-hmm.
That's
pretty scary.
And not because some people think they're called evil if they push them downstairs. What it is plain anger, and they're just letting you know they're there.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
I've never heard of a ghost really.
Still.
So, yeah, that's great. Is that the only story that you've got that you could share, or have you ever come across any spirits of your own?
No, I've been open to them, but I haven't. I have many, many relatives that have passed over, and I've been open to receiving them, but unfortunately, no.
Okay. So, since you're a little girl, you never seen a spirit at all?
Never with my sight, no.
No? Okay.
Maybe in dreams.
Dreams?
But not in sight.
Yeah. Well,
in dreams, yes. I've had spirit visit me in dreams, but not in sight. I'd like to see them. But
well, it's good. I'm glad you're doing well with that. Then at least you experienced one time, you get to smell the smoke.
Yeah, that was quite something, and I knew who he was right away, and that was nice. It was very nice.
Good. Well, I'm glad. Thank you very much for sharing that with me.
Yeah. But on the other end of it, tonight you're looking for ghosts, but I was hoping that you would read me what my purpose is, if you can.
The reading night, because I added it into my list too, by the way, folks. I can read you.
Great.
Okay. Your first name again was?
Janice.
Where was you from?
Burnaby.
Oh, Burnaby.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're in the BC area.
Yes.
Cool.
I actually saw you on Friday night at the Spiritualist Church.
Oh, you saw me this Friday night at the Spiritualist Church?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And my friends had to leave because the ride that we had to pick up her son in Coquitlam. And just as I was leaving, you said, no, he does not want you to leave yet.
That's your father?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess he really got your attention.
yeah, but still my ride was leaving.
Yeah?
I was sorry. I felt rude leaving at that point, but I had no choice, so
That's okay. That happens. So you want to find what your purpose is?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. This is funny. What's your purpose here? Okay. What I'm seeing here, as far as your purpose in life, but basically on the spiritual sense of it, is curiosity. When a person goes into curiosity, they want to learn something new about their path, and they don't know where to go from there. Like, what I'm seeing here is if you're walking into a wall, not completely walk into the wall, but the doorway still shows opportunity. I do see you moving or talking about the move. It's actually either the job or the house itself. I do see that. There's also someone here in spirit coming through. They show me they dealt with a choking feeling, as if they're choking to passing. This wasn't your dad, was it? The choking part?
I don't know. It was a heart attack.
Your dad had a heart attack?
Well, he had a heart condition. He died in hospital, and that we assume it was a heart attack, yes.
Okay. Was there... No, this is not your dad. This is somebody else, because he says, I choked.
Mm.
It wasn't your father. This person here, he's a male. He says male, and he says
he choked.
Unless he had a brother that had dealt with choking, I feel like food buildup. To me, it sounds like, how do you say it? I get the word choking. Choking, I don't know what else on top of that. He just is like as if he suffocated. I feel to me it's more like the last of the memories.
Mm.
It's got to be either his uncle or his father or his brother, one of the two, unless he's got a brother that passed.
He has, yeah, brothers that have passed. I wouldn't know which one that would be, though. Hmm.
This one held... I feel that he had problems with drinking food or eating foods, and he choked that way.
Mm.
That's my feeling. That's what I'm getting it from that.
Yeah, okay. I don't know who that would be.
I would check it out.
Yeah, he has many brothers that...
You get that, and sometimes people don't always talk about it.
Yeah.
I would check it out and see what you can get out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Work it from there. But as far as your personal part of life would be, I would say...
No purpose.
Well, there's a purpose. We always have a purpose. What do you do right now for work?
I'm in banking.
Well, that's not always a purpose. That's just a job.
Yeah, it's a job. Mm-hmm.
You know what I would say for you best to do is maybe come and see me. Make an appointment to come and see me and see what happens from there. Because what I'm getting right now is this guy keeps on showing me the choking sense, so he really wants to come through.
Mm. Gee whiz, who is that?
You're not off your path, if that's what you're worried about.
Good.
Okay? You've got a plan. There is plans in your life. I'm not seeing anything right now. I'm not seeing a darn thing.
Nothing.
You might have to come and see me.
No purpose at all.
Yeah, you got purpose, but I have no idea right now. I'm not getting I'm sorry, I'll be honest with you. I'm not getting anything.
Okay.
Hang on. I'm not going to lose you yet. Wait. Okay. When did you... how often have you been coming to the church?
Friday was my first visit.
Okay, so you've never been there before?
No.
Okay. I've got... a feeling that... Have you ever thought about getting into the healing work?
Yes. I've been told before I should be a healer.
Yeah, because I want to say, get yourself into more of the hands-on healing type of work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say, if you're doing Reiki or doing that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting close to people because your hands are... it's your presence that likes to make contact with people.
Mm-hmm.
That would benefit you more. Okay?
Yes, I've been told that before, that I should be a healer.
I would check the church. Go to that church and find out what programs they're training or teaching and see what programs you can get yourself registered with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have thought of that, and I have planned to do that, yes.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea for you. It will help you a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah. I was, all of a sudden, wasn't there, and I was just trying to get my mind on something here. Yeah. I want to share with you folks a story. This happened to a friend of mine who has passed, and is based on what you call a ghost story itself. So there was more than one ghost haunting the small apartment building in Vancouver, the suburb of Coquitlam. Most were quite gentle presences that would do no more than occasionally let the tenants know they were around. But there was one entity that was not benign like the others. It was truly a terror. It all started in the summer of 1985 after the owner of the apartment obtained a load of granite slabs for a walkway. One day after they were in place, a tenant, Mrs. Lucille Schneider, turned one of the stones over to discover that they were grave markers. Apparently, the walkway was constructed from headstones that had been removed from graves when the Woodland School for the Mentally Disabled turned its small cemetery into a park. After that, things suddenly started to happen at the apartment building. The dials on the television sets in the various units would constantly be changed while no one was in the room. Bedroom lights would turn on and off without human intervention, and mysterious footprints would be heard to echo over the floors of empty rooms. The ghosts did not seem to feel restricted to any one unit, but haunted the building as a whole. One particularly active presence was dubbed Harry. One day, reported one tenant, I told a visitor that he would have proof soon enough that Harry was real. When the toaster came on by itself and melted a plastic bread holder, on another occasion when the lights were acting strange, she suggested that Harry should be invited for tea. Just then, the heating element under the teapot came on. Now, early on in the hauntings, a well-known Abbotsford psychic, who actually has passed, name is Ralph Hurst, good friend, investigated Harry's activities in the apartment of Mrs. Schneider. Harry Johnstone, who had been killed some years earlier in a work-related accident, the late Mr. Johnstone was a fun-loving sort of fellow who, accordingly to the psychic, was a little on the lazy side. He certainly wasn't an evil individual, but he was the one responsible for flicking on the lights and other tricks. Mrs. Schneider felt that there were other presences in the house, and at times she would catch the image of a child out of the corner of her eye. But when she turned to face it, it was gone. However, it was not Mrs. Schneider who was the center of the most of the pleasant manifestations, but another family, the Huttons. It started with the four Hutton children at the various times they complained about seeing faces pressed against the window of the apartment. And on other occasions, in the middle of the night, their beds would suddenly begin to shake. Mrs. Hutton could find no reason for these occurrences. As far as the tenants of the building were concerned, the 130 little tombstones, which formed the walkway to the road, were the cause of the psychic manifestations. For children living in the building, the stones seemed to hold a macabre manifestation. One of the tenants shuddered as she recalled that local children would turn the stones over to reveal the names of the children whose grave they had marked. Finally, the tombstones were taken away, and the ghost activity didn't stop. It was not until December of 86 that incidents seemed to reach a peak. Then Mrs. Hutton encountered a particularly frightening apparition outside of her bathroom. She says, I was coming out of the kitchen and there was this figure standing there. He had a robe with red scribbling on it, but no face. The incident was very upsetting to Mrs. Hutton. I never believed in this kind of thing. I'm not crazy, she said. The presence of a monk-like figure was the last straw. There was no way in earth, God's earth, that I'm going to stay in this house, Mrs. Hutton affirmed. Then she quickly packed up her family and moved out. Another tenant indicated her family had endured about enough, and threatened also to move out. But then, however, the worst of the psychic phenomena was over. The number of occurrences decreased markedly over the next several months. Today, the ghosts still inhabit the Coquitlam apartment building, longtime residents of Mrs. Schneider, which she believes that they were not nearly as active as they once were. Now, I think we have a caller. Someone there?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Derek and Zita.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to share something with you that happened to me about a month ago.
Okay.
I had a friend of mine whose mother was very ill, and we knew she was going to pass. It was just a matter of time of when it would happen. And I was just falling asleep, and I heard a voice tell me, and it's never been this loud before.
Yeah.
All she said was, and she said it twice, and she said, "Hi, Zita." And so I tried to communicate with her and see if I could find out who it was and what was happening. But nothing came back. And then a week or so later, the voice woke me up at 6:34 a.m. I looked at the clock, and it said, "His mother has passed." And so he happened to be out of town, so I waited that entire day for a phone call. He called me that night, and I didn't want to say anything to him. I wanted him to confirm it. She had not passed, but it was going to be really close. She passed away the following morning at 6:34 a.m.
Wow.
I went with him the whole week, helping him through the arrangements, making sure that everything was okay, that everything was taken care of. The following Saturday, after the funeral and everybody had left, I was cleaning up my house, and I was in my room when I was changing the linen. Went down the hallway to get another set of sheets, came back into my room, and on my bedroom floor was a card. And it was a card that I had not purchased. There was no envelope to it. It was laying open, face down, and it was a thank you card. So,
what kind of a card?
Cool. Huh?
What kind of card?
A thank you card.
A thank you card?
It was a thank you card. In fact, I still have it here somewhere.
And nobody signed it?
No, it's not signed. There's no envelope. There isn't anything with it.
Wow. That was actually called an apport.
It's called a what?
An apport.
Okay.
A-P-P-O-R-T.
Okay.
An apport is when spirit sends you a item from the other side to acknowledge you for what you've done.
So was this from spirit world, or was it from his mother, or?
It's from the spirit world, but it came. Now, did the mother pass away?
Yes.
Okay, then if it was for her at the time, she's the one that left the card behind in spirit. From spirit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at the card, and this is not a card that I would have ever purchased.
Yeah. It's interesting because spirits have the way of manifesting items across to you. I mean, I talked about this afternoon with a lot of clients where they would pass coin. Mm-hmm. They would bring coin across, especially copper, on windowsills or on the floor. You'll find them on the floor. You do find them on the streets, but you know you can't always acknowledge that because sometimes it's just
basic. Right.
Young kids don't like coin, copper, so they just throw them. But there have been other items. Like I had one when I was flying home from Regina when I was doing a couple of wellness shows. Now, Regina is in Saskatchewan, guys. If those of you don't know, it's not called Vagina. It's called Regina.
Mm-hmm.
When I was doing a radio show, I was interviewed. Somebody thought I said we're with the word vagina. It's Regina, Saskatchewan, or they call it Regina sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
In that, well, I was flying home, and I was transferring from one plane to the other, and they had this plane already cleaned up and everything. I had a seat of my own on the right side. I like the window seats. And I had my hat and my briefcase and my coat, and I had took my book out of my briefcase, and I laid it under the chair, and I had my coat on my lap, and my hat was on my briefcase.
Wow.
And I was sitting there for about maybe 3-4 minutes, and all of a sudden the guys, they shut the doors, and then I heard this click below my feet, but there's nobody sitting beside me. Just I was by myself in the on the window seat, and I looked down, and there was a set of rosary beads wrapped around my boots.
Oh wow.
And I didn't really paid too much attention. I thought, oh, well, it must have fallen down somewhere, but there was nothing attached itself to. So I looked at it real carefully, and they're actually red, like a burgundy color, and they're wood rosary beads, and there was words written on the cross. And the words were in my wife's language, because when I found out when I got home, it was in her language. The words means Medjugorje, and that means heavens above between two worlds. Mm. Well, at the time, as you know, this radio show was called Between Two Worlds. I actually had another radio show on the AM station in Vancouver called Between Two Worlds. And the thing is, at the time when I was in Regina, I was asking Spirit the night before that I needed some proof letting me know if I was doing a good enough job. And I felt that when I got on the plane, that was my answer.
Mm-hmm.
I was flying home March 31st of that month. And the time that I got the rosary beads on my boots. But when I got home and I showed my wife the rosary beads, what had happened, I called a lady friend of mine up who's also a medium, been doing it for about 50 years. And she told me on the phone, she said she believes that it's called an apport, she said, and it came from someone that loves us very much, and she feels that it's connected to like a mother figure who has passed. Well, my wife got really excited. Suddenly she just got up and she says, oh my God, that's my mom. She says, because her mother died March 31st.
Oh, wow.
A couple of years before. So that was her mother passing those rosary beads on to me. Every day, I carry these rosary beads when I do my work. So it's a reminder letting me know that I'm good. I know what my job is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I follow it with my best. So if anybody ever says to me, you don't know what you're talking about, I'll say, well, guess what? Get over it, because I already know where I'm going to be coming from.
Exactly.
I know what Spirit's telling me, and I'm going to follow that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you had the same thing. You had the same thing given to you, which is very rare. But I know Winnipeg. You're up in Winnipeg, aren't you?
I'm in Minneapolis.
You're in Minneapolis? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Up in Minneapolis, that's Minnesota?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, is Minneapolis east of Manitoba, or you are on the opposite side?
I'm pretty much just south.
Yourself, okay. Okay, I'm not too sure.
I'm right on just below Lake Superior.
Oh, okay. A lot of times when there's ever any older countries, like being in Minnesota or Manitoba and the eastern parts of Canada and towards your way, a lot of them are very active in spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because the country itself is very old, you know, in a way that it's been traveled on since the very early times. And
oh,
where I live,
I'm right next to Fort Snelling. So yeah, this is very old country.
That makes a lot of sense.
Very old country.
Yeah. So there's a lot of spirits that do travel, and if you're close to a lot of water yourself, say a lake or an ocean,
mm-hmm.
That's where the activity is even stronger, because spirits use water as an energy connection.
Yes. And I always have water in my home. I always have a fountain or something with water in my home.
Okay. Then, again, as long as the water's running,
yep.
not your typical toilet, but unless they want to raise a stink. There are different means and ways of how spirit likes to come through, but they like I said before, that's why we drink a lot of water when we do our readings at time, because our body has to consistently use that energy
mm-hmm.
Around us. If I'm in Minneapolis, or if I'm in Winnipeg, or if I'm in like a drier part of the areas, I drink more water than normal. And being in British Columbia, I'm all surrounded around water, that it's the energy is much easier to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So that happens quite often.
Yeah. No, I have fountains outside my house. I have fountains in my house. Always. I always have fountains going.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I grew up that way.
It's good to have fountains around you, because it's very, like I said, it's a very loving energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My mother was a medium, and she always believed in that. So ever since, I live in the house I was born in. And ever since we moved into this house, there has been a fountain in it.
Are you doing the same kind of work as your mom?
No.
Why?
I'm working on it. I'm developing.
Why?
I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I do pretty well.
Please listen to your mom and mother's advice. She's been trying to get you to use your skills more.
Yes.
Right?
I am. She was much stronger than I was, or than I am, but I'm working on it.
How old are you?
I am doing that.
How old are you, my dear?
48.
48? You should be honing your skills by now.
It's actually kicking off pretty well now.
Okay.
I was afraid of it for a very long time.
Yeah, but did your mother
know what it was? Even though I grew up in it, I didn't
know
the responsibility of it. But now I realize that I don't have a choice.
Yeah, but did your mother teach you?
My mother taught all of us.
Okay, but yet you still felt scared. Why?
Because I could predict when somebody passed, and I didn't know how to handle that.
Okay, so your mother did not teach you that part, how to handle it.
She did not teach us that.
No, okay, because your mom did not know how to do either.
No, she did the same. She predicted someone's death also.
Yeah.
And she did not know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
So she did not teach us that part of it.
Okay.
But I'm learning.
Let me share something with you on this one, because that happens to me quite often when I predict people's passings, but I don't like telling other people that they're going to pass really quick. But what I do say for that family member is they need to take more care of their health.
Yes.
Okay? If you are seeing a passing in the family, it does not hurt to approach that person in the family to say, you need to take care of your health more.
I did that with my mother.
Yeah, because basically
2 weeks later.
That's exactly, because basically you followed up what your guide did to say. There's no fault in you to say what you think you should have done or should not have done.
Right.
Okay? But Spirit gave you that vision, because you need to learn to accept the journey that you're on.
Mm-hmm.
But they use the word death as a transition, not as a death and an ending.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're taught by the traditional schools of churches or other beliefs, that death is an end and that's it. Mm-hmm. But it's not. We always call death a transition. And that, in fact, I don't even like to use the word death, really.
Use death in our family.
I use the word crossing over.
That's what we did. Or we always called it going home.
Or going home, yeah.
Actually,
because
my stepfather was alive, we called it going to the hotel.
But we're so used to hearing the word death, and I've had so many priests tell me, whenever I used to go to funeral services, so many priests say, we need to be afraid of death. We need to be afraid of death. You know, be aware of that. And I thought, what are you guys doing? You know, you're making us feel like making people feel like they should be afraid
right.
to die.
Right.
And they get so browbeaten on it and so believable that they begin to think they should die.
Mm-hmm.
So what our journey is, what our teachings are, is to start talking to people about taking care of their health more often. And if it is their time, don't be afraid to tell them that, you know what, there should be something done about your health that you may have a chance to live longer.
Mm-hmm.
I know why, because, I mean, I've told this many times, my dad should have been passed, he should have been gone at least 12 years ago, 12, 13 years ago. And I've had so many mediums come up to me and say, your father's going to leave you. Our father's going to leave you. He's going to pass. He's going to pass. He's going to pass. You're going to do something about it. And what it really was, it was giving me warnings and to prepare myself. If anything ever did happen, I was warned.
Mm-hmm.
To be prepared for the change.
Absolutely.
But I also had made a decision, a sole decision, that I was going to try and help my father and see if I can help him on his health. So I would say, Dad, how are you doing these days? You know, how's your health? What's bothering you? And I'd find out things from him what he would never hardly even tell a doctor. And then I'd say, Dad, try this tea. Try this, try this, try this. And he would try it. But he'd say, what's it going to do for me? Well, just give it a shot, Pop. You're going to feel a lot better. Oh, okay. But he wouldn't use it forever, but he'd use it for a temporary time. Like he'd say, well, it made me pee a lot if I took this tea. Well, guess what, Pop? You have prostate problems. Now you're living longer. My dad did not die of prostate cancer because everybody kept saying he's going to die of cancer. He didn't. My father died of pneumonia.
Right.
Why he died of pneumonia? Because my mom passed away. He couldn't handle living. He didn't like the idea of not living any longer after mom passed.
Right.
8-9 weeks later, he wanted to leave. Well, he made that decision.
Mm-hmm.
He found
a way to make him leave. Yeah.
Is he with mom now? Sometimes. My mother is on her own more than my father is near her, but dad wanted to be with her.
Mm-hmm.
My mother, she just wanted some freedom to do her own thing, even in spirit. She'd come to see me after she passed, and so did my dad.
Yep.
My father told me before he died, which I didn't know he was going to die at the time, because I was hoping he lived longer, but Pop said to me, the last conversation I had on the phone with my father was, I'll talk to you in 2 weeks. And I thought, what do you mean 2 weeks? Then the next day, or a couple of days after, he passed away, and I thought, yeah, right, 2 weeks. Well, 2 weeks after Pop passed, he came to see me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like he was already telling me ahead of time to be prepared to receive his message from him in 2 weeks.
Absolutely, yep.
So I accepted that. I come to terms with it. And I lit a candle for my parents, and I did a sweat lodge for my mother to honor her and to help me go through my healing processes. And it did help a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Each of us goes through our own healing process. And you can be the best medium in the world, the best healer in the world, and you still go through the process of having a hard time accepting the fact that your family's gone.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? A lot of people don't realize out there, I always tell everybody, learn to appreciate who you have in your life now, your mother, your father. If you think that you don't need them around you and you decide not to spend much time with them and all of a sudden they're gone, you're going to actually, you're going to regret it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's things out there you're going to need to ask them, including health issues, that if they've got them, you may have them when you get older, or even though try to remember a recipe. That's important.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
Because I regret not asking my mom a lot of recipes.
No, we made sure that my mother wrote everything down. And if I have a question now, I still ask her, and she passed 7 years ago.
Yeah.
She always answers me.
Yeah.
So, no, we're as close now as we ever were.
Yeah, well, that's good. Yep. That's good.
Always.
Well, I thank you very much for sharing that story.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Have a good night, Derek.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We have so many stories that we'd like to share with the public. And, well, we got 10 more minutes until the lines are done. Now, actually, I want to see here if we have anybody here on the chat rooms. Yes. How can you tell if it's a spirit or just thoughts? Well, you just somehow know. And this comes from Sylvester. You somehow know. Sylvester, even if you work in the mediumship field, psychic field, or just being yourself, if you feel that you've seen something and you're not too sure of, I would say to come to terms with it, just accept it, whether you want to accept it or not. But my understanding of whenever I do my work, I believe in my heart that what I've seen, I've seen. And spirits have a way of doing that. They know how to make contact with you. And they want to get a message to you. So if you think you've seen an apparition, a spirit in front of you, or someone trying to get through to you, even in a dream time, that happens as well. They try to give you messages. And that happens. So if you actually have seen one yourself, please phone in this number, toll-free number. Now, those who let you know right now, the toll-free numbers are 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. That's in the U.S. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. That's 4815-9756. And the direct line is 530-876-3222, 530-876-3222. That's the international line. Yeah. if anyone wishes to talk about their stories that they've actually had dealt with, experience, please phone in. Okay. I would say check it out if you think he's passed. Now, actually, Sylvester just said, hey, I felt my friend had just passed last week and he was unsettled. I would say check it out, Sylvester. I really would. I would say check it out and see if it is really to happen. Check the family and see if there was a funeral. See what happens. Maybe he may have been one that actually came to see you. Worth your while, check it out. We also have the story that I was sharing you about the macabre walkway. Now, this actually, like I said before, this also story, it's interesting how we talk about having tombstones in someone's yard or how we bring something from the grave into our front yard. Try not to do this at home. Bringing home tombstones. This actually was purchased. The tombstones themselves were actually purchased at an auction, but no one knew they were actually tombstones. All they thought they were just regular walking stones, and they were laid stacked up on top of each other. And the guy bought them at an auction. That's why he used them for the yard until someone realized after that they were headstones. These things happen a lot. A lot of graveyards out in our area where we live are constantly being dug up and moved. And then people wonder why there's been a lot of unsettledness, especially if it's it used to be a graveyard, and especially from a mental institution or a disabled institution, or even an old hospital that may have existed. Now, I had a guest on last week, and the guest that I had on last week was Chris Booth, and he was the producer and director and the called the Ghosts of Waverly Hills Sanatorium. My mom called it a sanatorium. Chris called it a sanitarium. They had over 160,000, I'm sorry, 68,000 spirits around there, so that was interesting. We have a caller. Caller there?
Hi, this is Leanne.
Hi, Leanne. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good. Where are you calling from?
Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Oh, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. That's nice. I like that, Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Yeah, I was just calling in to see if I could get a reading.
Yeah, I guess you can. That sounds good. Have I spoken to you before?
No, I just called in about 10 minutes ago. And,
oh, you couldn't get online?
No, I just punched in. It's the first time I've ever seen this show or heard
it. Oh, well,
show.
I've been on for over 2 years.
Awesome. This sounds great.
Well, thank you very much. I've been doing this radio, besides being on the internet radio, I've actually had an AM radio show with the same kind of name here in Vancouver, and I decided to go international. And it's been doing quite well so far, and we're working on doing television, too, so... it's going to be a lot of fun.
That is wonderful. I'm excited to find this.
Before I read you, I want to share with the public, everyone know, tomorrow, as of this 5 o'clock in the morning, this coming morning, for the next day, for October 31st, I'm going to be at a very special place. It's called the Old Spaghetti Factory, and it's a restaurant, but it's very, very haunted. The place that before it was all called the Old Spaghetti Factory, it was something else. It was an old train station, just down below as well as up above in the area. But it's been over 100 years since the changes have been made. But I'm going to be doing paranormal investigating with a radio station under 94.5 FM here in Vancouver. And they're asking me to do paranormal investigating for them. So I'll be there from 5 until 10 a.m. Basically, they want me to go around the building and see what they get and tell them the stories. And they're also going to have some of the people that worked in there, as the employees, and be telling their stories about events that are happening. So I'll be sharing that with you next week as well. Anyways, for Leanne.
Yes.
Let's see where we are here. I want to say there's a father here that's passed. Has your father passed?
No. He's still here.
I have a father figure here pass. I want to say, like, either his dad passed before him.
Well, I was adopted. That's only...
Okay, then this is probably your father, your birth father.
But I never knew him.
Okay, I want to say he's passed.
Okay.
Because he says father coming through. Okay?
Wow.
He has passed, yeah. He wants to come through to you.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry I have to say that to you, but...
Well, no, I never knew him. I was adopted when I was 6 weeks.
Oh, okay. He wants to come through and say, he's tell me here right now, His words are, in one way I want to say it, I apologize, I apologize, I apologize, that he wasn't there for you. This man actually was behind bars. He shows me that he was actually somehow incarcerated in prison.
Okay.
Okay. And I feel like it feels like that he was not supposed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
He says they got the wrong man, but he didn't die in prison, but that was his last days of doing most of his time was behind prison. He could have not been, he may not have been in jail all of his life.
Okay.
He could have been in and out at times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But he had a hardship of life. Now, did you ever meet your birth mom?
Say it again?
Did you ever meet your birth mom?
I have never, no.
Okay. Do you know if she's still living?
I have no idea.
Have you tried to find her?
No.
Have you thought of one to find her?
Well, I'm curious, but I have very good parents that adopted me.
Okay.
So, and I don't want to hurt their feelings, so.
You won't hurt their feelings, but she's still alive if you want to find out.
Sure. I wouldn't even know where to start or.
Contact the adoption agency sites and just put your name on the list of the birth parent or the guardians that took care of you by their names, and they will. It's up to you of consent of releasing information to find your birth parent.
Uh huh.
And what will happen is that they'll send the information to the birth parent, and then it's up to them to say what happened from there.
Okay, would she want to even meet me? I mean, you know, sometimes.
Well, let's put it this way. If your father, birth father, is pointing out that your birth mother is looking for you.
Really?
I've got a funny feeling she is looking for you.
Okay.
Yeah, and I guess I feel this is going to benefit you on that part. But the reason I'm saying this, too, is because sometimes we don't know why we have these certain symptoms of illnesses in ourselves,
mm-hmm.
even though you're adopted.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd like to find out from your birth parent if they actually had dealt with certain problems with themselves medically,
mm-hmm.
and find out if it's hereditary or not. And that's the reason why a lot of people actually look for that birth parent to see if there's anything you need to be concerned about.
Sure.
Besides just meeting them.
Sure.
Yeah.
I guess I was just almost afraid to even go looking.
I would not be worried about it and never feel bad about it because your adopted parents, just let them know that you still love them very dearly, but you're curious about to find out who your birth mother is and when what she's all about.
Sure.
My wife here now, when she found her daughter after all these years, she wasn't sure how she was going to be accepted by the rest of her adoptive family, and her adoptive family encouraged her to try and find her.
I tried
to find her. So basically, how this whole thing all turned out. So when she had her own children, her daughter, we had grandkids now. But she had her own children, the kids have an advantage. They got, instead of having two sets of grandparents, they got three sets of grandparents.
Sure. Yeah, it could work great.
It does. It makes it's a great advantage for the kids. That means they get extra Christmas gifts.
Oh, that's wonderful. And you know, since you've got my birth father there, is there anything else I could, you know, it'd be kind of interesting that he's here. Does he want to say anything else?
He just tells me that he does love you in his own special way. He did not know you that well, but he says he's with you a lot. He's around you. But he comes around he sends you a bird. I feel like a sparrow or a dove.
Uh-huh.
But he says that certain birds are around you, but they're small.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his indication saying that he's there. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. It's a pleasure having you on, my dear.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We're about to come to close, folks, so I'd like to thank you all for listening in to the show. And, guys, have a happy Halloween. Be safe out there and watch over the little ones. They need some help when they need to walk across the street and make sure that their masks don't smother their faces. Thank you very much, and thank you for listening to Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud, your friendly neighborhood psychic medium. Take care, folks. Talk to you next Tuesday. Bye.